You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Tuesday, March 7, 2023. Sail away. Supply-demand imbalances will make the U.S. a leading exporter of RD and SAF. Published by Robert Hours. U.S. production of renewable diesel, or RD, is rising fast, and production of sustainable aviation fuel, or SAF, will soon follow suit, driven largely by federal and state incentives. But U.S. demand for both RD and SAF is growing at a more measured pace, mostly because they are throttled by a number of other governmental policies, including the level of blending mandate set by the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA. As we see it, the net effect of this disconnect between domestic supply and demand will be the U.S. becoming a net exporter of RD this year and a net exporter of SAF in 2025, but only after a spike in SAF imports in 2023 to 2024. Yes, it's complicated. But with public sector policies impacting both sides of the supply-demand scale, did you really expect it wouldn't be? In today's RBN blog, we look at two more energy products the U.S. will be exporting. This is the fourth blog in our series about crude oil and product exports, where we're looking at what's driving the increased flows of U.S.-sourced hydrocarbons to export terminals and overseas markets. The first three episodes, Calling the Shots, Sooner or Later, and Houston Bound, focused on crude oil exports, which have been ramping up since the long-standing ban on most crude exports was lifted more than 7 years ago. Way back then, RD and SAF weren't really on anyone's radar, but they sure are now. Before we dive into what's ahead for RD and SAF imports and exports, let's do a quick as we can review of what RD and SAF are, how they're produced, and what's driving their fast increasing production. RD and SAF not only provide lower carbon, renewable-based alternatives to petroleum-based diesel and jet fuel, respectively, they are also the chemical twins of those widely used fuels and therefore can serve as drop-in replacements for them. Further, RD and SAF, like traditional diesel and jet, have similar, but not identical, chemical makeups, with the specs for SAF, like jet fuel, reflecting the special needs of jet engines and jet aircraft, such as a very low freeze point. As you'd guess, the processes for producing RD and SAF also rhyme. A general design for both typically reacts a renewable feedstock, such as vegetable oil, waste cooking oil, animal fats, etc., with hydrogen, or H2, at high pressure over a reactor filled with catalyst. After the reactor, the liquid hydrocarbons are separated from unreacted hydrogen and water and then fed into a lower-pressure fractionation system and distilled into refinery intermediates. See our Come Clean series for more. It's important to emphasize up front that RD is not the same as biodiesel. While both are made from similar feedstocks, the processes used to make them result in different chemical structures. As a result, RD can be transported by pipeline and be blended with traditional diesel at higher ratios than the 5% to 20% limit for biodiesel. Production and blending of RD and SAF, biodiesel too, are driven by an alphabet soup of federal and state laws and programs. First, there's the Federal Renewable Fuel Standard, or RFS, which includes a Renewable Identification Number, or RIN, program for tracking the production and blending of ethanol and other renewable fuels, and for ensuring blender compliance with the RFS. Each gallon of renewable diesel generates 1.7 D4 RINs, versus only 1.5 D4 RINs for biodiesel. Also, there's the Federal Blender's Tax Credit, or BTC, which was established under Section 40A of the Internal Revenue Code and provides a tax credit of $1 per gal for RD or biodiesel included in a qualified biodiesel mixture that is either used or sold as a fuel. The BTC was set to expire at the end of 2022, but the Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA, extended its life by 2 years, to the end of 2024. The IRA also created a new section of the tax code, 40B, to extend the BTC to SAF. To claim the credit for SAF, a producer will need to certify that the fuel's life cycle greenhouse gas, or GHG, emissions are reduced by at least 50%. The SAF credit will be equal to $1.25 per gal plus an additional 1 cent for each percentage of life cycle emissions reduction that exceeds 50%. If the emissions are reduced by 100%, the SAF credit would be $1.75 per gal. As we said though, the BTC for RD, SAF and biodiesel only runs through 2024. Then, thanks to the IRA, the new Clean Fuels Production Credit, or CFPC, also referred to as a Section 45Z credit, will kick in, offering, through the end of 2027, a base level credit of $1 for each gallon of RD produced and sold, assuming the producer meets the IRA's prevailing wage and apprenticeship requirements, a $1.75 per gal credit for SAF, and no credit for biodiesel production. In addition to the base level credit, the calculation of the CFPC includes an emissions factor that takes into account the fuel's life cycle GHG emissions rate, which is comparable to its carbon intensity, or CI, score. Again, it's complicated, see Thunderstruck for details, but the bottom line is that newer, less carbon-intensive production facilities could seek credits well above the $1 per gal and $1.75 per gal base levels for RD and SAF, respectively. That could add up to serious money. At the state level, RD and SAF production are also incentivized by Low Carbon Fuel Standard, or LCFS, programs like those in California, which assigns a CI target value for petroleum-based gasoline and diesel as well as their substitutes, such as ethanol, biodiesel, and RD. The LCFS then sets maximum CI limits on finished gasoline and diesel consumed in the state each year on a gradually declining scale to meet the 2030 goal of a 20% CI reduction. While state LCFS programs, Oregon and Washington have them too, don't include jet fuel, and the production of conventional jet fuel does not generate deficits for refiners, the production of SAF can generate credits under California's LCFS program and thereby offset deficits generated from conventional gasoline and diesel production. Similarly, while renewable blending is not required for jet fuel under the federal RFS, it does generate RINs when blended, which can then be sold to obligated parties, refiners and gasoline or diesel importers, under the RFS program. So, all of that is driving RD and, more recently, SAF production, and the development of new production capacity. Demand for RD, SAF and biodiesel, in turn, is impacted by a number of factors including, as we said in our intro, level of motor fuel blend mandates set by the EPA, in the form of renewable volume obligations, or RVOs, alternative pathways for generating LCFS credits on the West Coast, and feedstock availability. You might want to take a look at Figure 1 in today's blog on the website, which shows historical demand for biodiesel and RD and SAF, as well as our forecast for 2023 to 2030. Biodiesel, RD, and SAF demand will fall year over year from 2024 to 2025 as blenders take advantage of the last year of the BTC to maximize volumes in 2024. This strategy is made possible by the provision that a company can use 20% of prior year RINs to meet their RVO obligation, in this case using 2024 RINs to meet the 2025 obligation. RD and SAF are grouped together because these fuels are generated by the same plants from the same feedstock, with significant ability for such plants to shift yields between the two products based on market conditions. Typically, additional investment is needed to produce SAF, but once this investment is made, SAF yields can be increased up to 30-85% of total product yield, depending on project design. Biodiesel, on the other hand, is produced via a different process from different facilities. Figure 2 in today's blog shows the slow ramp-up in U.S. RD and SAF production in 2018 to 2021 and the much faster rise we're in the midst of now, with RBN's Refined Fuel Analytics, or RFA, practice forecasting that production will increase by two-thirds this year, to 181,000 barrels per day from 110,000 barrels per day in 2022, then by another 65,000 barrels per day in 2024, and about 60,000 barrels per day in 2025. Further, SAF will make up a growing share of this pool due to the higher BTC for SAF through 2024 and the higher CFPC for SAF beginning in 2025. A prime example of the new RD and SAF production capacity being developed is Fidelis New Energy's planned 65,000 barrels per day Grand Fuels Giga System project in the Baton Rouge, Louisiana area, which will use carbon-negative power and carbon capture and sequestration, or CCS, to slash the CI of its RD and SAF and thereby maximize its CFPCs. For the past several years, until domestic RD production capacity jumped higher in 2022, the U.S. was a net importer of RD and SAF, with the vast majority of those volumes coming from Singapore. With new RD production facilities coming online in the U.S., net imports fell to about 3,000 barrels per day last year and are expected to flip to 28,000 barrels per day of net exports in 2023, then nearly double to 51,000 barrels per day of net exports in 2024 and increase again to 110,000 barrels per day in 2025. The trajectory and magnitude of SAF net imports will differ from that of RD. We expect the U.S. to be a significant importer of the renewable jet fuel alternative through 2024 due to the $1.75 per gal SAF BTC, which became effective on January 1, 2023, and runs through the end of next year. Then, with domestic production of SAF taking off in 2025, outstripping growth in blending mandates, or RVOs, and therefore, domestic demand, the U.S. will flip from net SAF importer to net exporter. Moreover, in 2021, the European Union, or EU, extended anti-dumping and or countervailing duties on U.S. biodiesel and renewable diesel of up to €237 per NT, 80 cents per gal, through 2026. These duties will not apply to SAF imports, at least for now. We should emphasize here that the CFPC taking effect in January 2025 encourages RD and SAF production in the U.S. but provides the same tax credit benefit to exported product and product consumed domestically. So if domestic production exceeds demand, there's no reason not to load the excess onto a tanker and, as the title of today's blog suggests, sail away. The longer-term outlooks for RD and SAF exports will depend on a number of factors, such as whether the federal government will extend the CFPC beyond its current sunset at the end of 2027, we think it will, and how much the EPA's RVO blending mandates grow. As for where the export of increasing volumes of RF and SAF will occur, we expect it to be the Gulf Coast marine terminals that are already handling the massive volumes of refined products being shipped overseas. We also anticipate that most of the exported RD and SAF will be headed for Canada, where demand for these fuels will grow considerably with the implementation of the new Canadian Clean Fuels Regulations, or CFR. European demand will also grow, but the anti-dumping duties on US RD will limit imports there, at least through 2026. SAF exports, on the other hand, will likely flow primarily to Europe, unless the EU extends anti-dumping duties to that fuel. Who would have guessed a few years ago that, in addition to becoming a major exporter of crude oil, gasoline, diesel and jet fuel, the U.S. would also emerge as a leading exporter of renewable fuels? To make sense of all the changes ahead regarding U.S. exports of crude, refined products, RD and SAF, RBN is bringing together the views of top executives engaged in these markets, midstreamers, private equity, producers, shipping companies, and other major players, along with RBN's latest analysis on infrastructure, production and takeaway capacity. We call our conference ExportCon Oil 2023. This is where data and experience come together to explain what you need to know about the next phase of development in U.S. exports. ExportCon Oil 2023 is scheduled for the Houstonian in Houston on June 8, 2023. There, we'll review RBN's latest market analysis on the different energy export markets and then discuss what industry executives are seeing in their businesses. The need for U.S. exports to meet global demand will be front and center along with what has been happening to supply-demand balances in the U.S. In addition to the whole RBN senior analyst team, we'll be joined by Jim T., co-CEO of Enterprise Products, Scott Sheffield, CEO of Pioneer Natural Resources, Aaron Milford, CEO of Magellan Midstream, Brian Freed, CEO of Epic Midstream, Tom Closa, Global Head of Energy Analysis at Opus, Tony Chivanek, Senior Vice President of Fundamentals and Supply Appraisal at Enterprise, and Sean Strawbridge, CEO of Port of Corpus Christi. All of these leaders have made significant contributions to U.S. export markets. Other folks participating in our conference will be announced over the next few days. Sign up now while the rate is cheap. Sail Away was written by Neil Young and appears as the fifth song on side one of Young's 10th solo album, Rust Never Sleeps. The song was recorded during the sessions of his previous album, Comes a Time. Personnel on the song were Neil Young on lead vocal, guitars and percussion, Nicolette Larson on backing vocals, Joe Osborne on bass, and Carl T. Himmel on drums. Rust Never Sleeps by Neil Young and Crazy Horse was recorded in 1976-78 at the boarding house in San Francisco, Indigo Ranch in Malibu, Triad Studios in Fort Lauderdale, Woodland Studios in Nashville, and McNichols Arena in Denver, the St. Paul Civic Center, and the Cow Palace in San Francisco. Produced by Neil Young, David Briggs, and Tim Mulligan, the album was released in June 1979 and went to number 8 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart. It has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Rust Never Sleeps was the concept for the extended tour with Crazy Horse that resulted in the live tracks for this album. The live sets on this tour featured an aggressive guitar approach from Young that was influenced by the punk rock movement of the late 1970s. In many ways, the album is a blueprint for the grunge sound that came out of Seattle a decade later. The line from the song, My My, Hey Hey, Into the Blue, that goes better to burn out than fade away was quoted in the late Kurt Cobain's Suicide Note. Neil Young is a Canadian-American singer, songwriter, and musician. He started his professional career in the mid-1960s in Winnipeg, where he would meet his future bandmate, Stephen Stills, while both were playing the same venue in the city. In 1966, Young joined the Minor Birds, a band that included future star Rick James. When the group disbanded, Young and bassist Bruce Palmer loaded up their gear in Young's ancient Pontiac hearse and relocated to Los Angeles, where they would form Buffalo Springfield with Stephen Stills, Richie Furay, and Dewey Martin. Buffalo Springfield released 3 studio albums and 9 singles before breaking up in 1968. Young signed a record deal with Reprise Records as a solo artist in 1969. He also became a member of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young from 1969-70, and would release 6 albums with them. As a solo artist, Young has released 45 LPs and several singles. He has been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice, as a solo artist and as a member of Buffalo Springfield. He has won 3 Grammy Awards and 1 MTV Video Music Award and is a member of the Canadian Music Hall of Fame. He continues to record and tour.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.